there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Today is Monday, March 9, 2015. Dr. Jonathan Hansen was scheduled to be here today, but he had some unexpected gallbladder surgery. He's doing okay. He's recovering. Everybody, please pray for him that he he'll have a speedy recovery. But he was unable to participate in today's program. He'll be here in several weeks. A group of 47 Republican senators wrote an open letter to Iran's leaders warning them that any nuclear deal they sign with Barack Obama will not be valid after Obama leaves office in 2016, according to Bloomberg News. Of course, that's assuming Obama leaves the White House after 2016. I wouldn't be surprised. I've had this crazy idea in the past, and now it's starting to look more realistic. You know, a couple of years ago, I was floating the idea of Michelle Obama being the third term of the Obama-Nista regime and the fourth term. I came up with it one time. It was one of our guests that had written a book about, this was before the 2012 election, before he was reelected. And I'm trying to remember, I think it was a WND.com book about why we should fear an Obama second term. And I told the writer, I said, look, it's not a second term I fear. It's the fourth and the fifth term that I fear. But, several years ago, I started floating the idea that Michelle Obama will be the Democratic Party nominee in 2016. And a really crazy idea. But right now, I'm not so sure it's that crazy. Hillary Clinton is looking real bad. Hillary's not doing too good right now. She's got some serious problems with her email. And now that it's been revealed that she had a secretive email system linked to her home in New York. She never had an official email account at the State Department. She ran all of her email through a private email, and it was set up in a way that everything disappeared so that nothing could be traced. That sounds like premeditated criminal conspiracy. So you had a Secretary of State operating official business on a private, unsecure email server. And you can only imagine how many hackers got into it and read her private correspondence. Well, anyhow, Hillary doesn't look like she's going to be the 2016 presidential nominee of the Democratic Party. So that would open up the door to somebody else, which, right now you got Governor O'Malley of Maryland running. Elizabeth Warren is the darling of the progressives, but who would really excite the progressives? It would be Michelle Obama. So, I'm not predicting it. I'm just speculating. Don't be surprised if Michelle Obama becomes the candidate in 2016. Hillary may not run. Well, anyhow, going back to this article, this again being reported by Bloomberg, 47 Republicans wrote a letter to Iran's leadership saying any deal you sign with Barack Obama is null and void after the 2016 elections. The letter was written by Senator Tom Cotton, signed by the Senate's entire Republican leadership, including Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and Rand Paul. Bloomberg reporter Josh Rogan said the letter is meant, quote, not just to discourage the Iranian regime from signing a deal, but also to pressure the White House into giving Congress some authority over the process. Of course, Obama doesn't need a Congress when you're a dictator, when you're just ruling the land by executive decree. Why do you need a Congress? So the Congress is trying to make a little noise, pretend that they're still in power, that they actually have some authority. But this is pretty bold. I got to say, this is pretty bold. I've never, ever in my lifetime, I can't think of one instance in my lifetime that nearly half of the U.S. Senate wrote a letter to a foreign government saying, if you sign a deal with the president of our nation, we will not honor it after he leaves the White House. Which makes you wonder why they would honor it while he's in the White House. I mean, if it's a bad deal for the nation, then why is the Congress even allowing Obama to sign it? Well, that's because they don't have the courage to impeach him. Reuters said the White House called the letter from the Republican senators a continuation of a partisan strategy to undermine U.S. President Obama's foreign policy strategy. Now, the White House is really, really worried that somebody's going to find out what's in this deal. I mean, did you notice how worked up they were when Benjamin Netanyahu came to Washington? I mean, they spent months trying to stop that speech. They dissed him when he came to Washington. They showed disdain. Again, I've never seen this kind of behavior. Israel is an ally of the United States of America, but Obama treats Israel and its Prime Minister Netanyahu as though they're enemies of the United States. And he's cozying up to Iran and to other nations that are enemies of the United States. I mean, it makes you wonder, whose side is Obama on? And they were really worried that Netanyahu was going to, I think, say a lot more than what he really said. I think they were worried he was going to tell the truth, that he was just going to tell the Congress and the American people what he knew was in this deal. So Obama is pushing forward with a plan to sign a deal with the Iranians, which is going to give Iran the green light to develop their nuclear weapons program. And Israel has, I don't know at what point in time they came to realize that Obama was lying to them, deceiving them, stonewalling, delaying, running out the clock. You know, I'm sure they had that suspicion several years ago. But somewhere in the past year or two, it became very obvious to the Israelis that Obama was deliberately aiding Iran. And so now Iran is, or I should say Israel, will have no choice other than to attack Iran on their own, I would not rule out the possibility of a surprise Iranian attack on Israel. I think that's a real possibility that will start this war in the Middle East. I would not rule that out. I think it's entirely possible the Iranians are going to make a surprise preemptive strike on Israel, claiming that they had intelligence that Israel was getting ready to attack them. And I think that they're going to say this was a defensive action. And it's going to be hard for Israel to deny it, because they're on record so many times in the past 6, 7, 8 years saying, we will attack. All options are on the table. We're going to attack if they develop a nuclear weapon. So I think what we're going to see is I think we're going to see Iran attacking Israel before Israel attacks Iran. Anyhow, so we've got this showdown now between the Congress and Obama, who Mr. Obama is clearly helping the Muslims in Tehran. The Jerusalem Post reporting today a new Iranian long-range missile could extend Iran's strike capability to a wide swath of Europe and potentially far beyond. Tal Inbar, the head of space research at the Fisher Institute for Air and Space Strategic Studies in Israel, said that with its 2,500-kilometer range, the Iranian missile, which was unveiled on Sunday, entails a 25% increase in the range of Iran's missiles. And if we consider the future possibility that the missiles could be deployed on ships and submarines, we see the ability to project their power worldwide. The Post said in an email sent out on Sunday, Inbar said that revealing the missiles could potentially hit which could potentially hit cities in Eastern Europe and Southern Europe and cover a large portion of Northern Africa, represents a strategic change on the part of Iran, which previously had portrayed their long-range missiles as defensive and meant to protect their interests in the region. London Telegraph, several stories that they published today that I find very interesting. First, jihadists could be exploiting the German armed forces to get military training ahead of staging attacks in Europe. The head of German military counterintelligence has warned. At least 20 former German soldiers have been identified as fighting for ISIS, said Christoph Gramm, the head of Germany's counterintelligence agency, MAD. MAD. Interesting acronym for an intelligence agency. He said that we see a risk that the German army could be used as a training camp for violent Islamists, he told a German newspaper today. The warning follows the discharge of a soldier from the German army after jihadist material was found on his computer. The soldier had refused to disclose the reason for a trip to Egypt, during which he visited a radicalized mosque and called for the introduction of Sharia law in Germany. Now, another report, this one from the Washington Times, says that major news out of Libya is that a guy named, his last name is Behaj, the former head of the Al-Qaeda-linked Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, which is connected to ISIS, so Libyan branch of ISIS, and a major player in the U.S.-backed overthrow of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, has reportedly joined ISIS and is leading the ISIS forces in Libya. Do you get what I just said? This character, Abdel Hakim Behaj, former Al-Qaeda leader, has now joined ISIS. And what makes us so fascinating and so infuriating is that he played a major role in America and NATO's operation to remove Muammar Gaddafi. So now, the man that the U.S. and NATO counted on the ground to carry out the operation to destroy Gaddafi's government, to topple Gaddafi, to kill Gaddafi, that man has suddenly announced he's ISIS. How many times have we heard this story? Oh, you know, Washington will talk about blowback. Oh, the CIA and the Pentagon, another blowback. Blowback from their policy of, you know, once again, somebody that they trained, somebody that they trusted, somebody that they helped turned on them and joined the other side. No, they were on the other side when they trained them. This is the point I've been making on this program for years. In 2011, if you were listening to this program in 2011, I was saying on this program, Colonel Gaddafi, if you're listening to me, gather up your 144 tons of gold and run for the hills. Get out of Libya. They're going to kill you. They're coming for you. They're going to kill you. They're going to steal your gold. Run for your life. Get out of Tripoli. And when I was saying they, I was talking about the New World Order boys, Tony Blair, the Bushes, Obama, and the people that control them, the Bilderberg group in Europe, the upper elite of the Western regime that is in control of much of this planet and causing the wars and the chaos around the world. I was saying on this program, Gaddafi, run for your life. They're going to kill you. You think that you have an alliance with them. They're going to double cross you. Tony Blair shakes your hand, does business deals. Obama calls you his friend. They're going to kill you and they're going to steal your gold. And that's exactly what happened. And that's one of the things Hillary Clinton is trying to cover up in her emails, because she lied. She repeatedly lied about why the U.S. and NATO, France, and all the European countries had to bomb Libya back in 2011. She repeatedly lied. And the Pentagon was so upset. The U.S. military commanders were so upset about Hillary's lying that they secretly sent an envoy to Tripoli to warn Muammar Gaddafi that Hillary Clinton was setting a trap for him. Our U.S. military leaders sent a secret envoy to Tripoli to warn Gaddafi, Hillary Clinton, and Obama are setting a trap for you. They've got a propaganda deception campaign underway. They're trying to start a war. And they succeeded. And the mainstream establishment news media went along with the whole thing. And the American public bought it hook, line, and sinker. We got to get rid of Gaddafi, because Gaddafi is suppressing dissidents in Tripoli. That was the official story, remember? He was suppressing dissidents in Tripoli. We've got to do a NATO bombing campaign. And old John McCain was out there, and old Lindsey Graham, and all of them, the Republicans, they were there, locked arm with Obama and Hillary. Bomb, bomb, bomb. It was all a big lie. Just like McCain was in Ukraine. He was in Kiev. When the Western-backed protesters were in the streets of Kiev in December of the year before, promising the protesters, who were Nazis and fascists, telling them, we, the United States, will help you. We will stand behind you to help you topple the elected Ukrainian government. Old McCain was there stirring up that trouble too. These people, what do I say about them? Their God is the devil. They serve Lucifer. This is a Luciferian government. And it's causing bloodshed and violence all over the world. You can't stop ISIS until you stop this wicked foreign policy in the United States. Because the United States and NATO are deeply involved in ISIS. They created ISIS. ISIS was created to topple the Syrian government. And so now ISIS is in control of Libya. What did you expect? That was the game plan. I really believe something is being set up for Barack Obama to become the head of an Islamic caliphate. He is setting up an Islamic NATO. He's setting up an alliance of Islamic nations. I think this guy has dreams of being a leader of an Islamic caliphate. So when I read this stuff in the Washington Times and I see that this Abdel Hakim Belhaj switched from Al-Qaeda. Well, wait a minute. If he was the head of Al-Qaeda, wait a minute, I forgot about that. If he was the head of Al-Qaeda in Libya, then why did the United States put him in charge of the operation? Oh, because the U.S. created Al-Qaeda too. I forgot. Yeah, right. So why are we surprised that he joins ISIS? Because ISIS is just another name for Al-Qaeda. And the U.S. created Al-Qaeda in the 1980s in Afghanistan. And they brought to power a guy named Osama bin Laden. That's why he was not a surprise to the Western world. He was one of their team guys. Been on the payroll for a long time. So we got the same thing happening right now in Libya. Times of London, we'll put a face on this is what this U.S. foreign policy is doing. For life of me, I can't understand why the churches are so quiet. I just don't get it. I don't understand why the pastors are so quiet. The church members, how can you sit and be quiet when this level of wickedness is going on? This is wicked. It's evil. It's diabolical. It is from hell itself. Times of London, in the ancient churches of northern Syria, thousands are making arrangements to leave the country for good. Christians are caught up in the crossfire between Islamic State and an alliance of Kurds, the Syrian army, Sunni tribes, and local militias. In the past 2 weeks, ISIS militants have been rampaging through Christian villages, defacing churches, kidnapping men, women, and children. And then it talks about a particular Christian man. They give him the name Peter, originally from the village of Tel Garan. Is one of those plotting to escape from a region that until recently sheltered some of the oldest Christian communities in the Middle East. He told the Times of London, there is nothing left, no houses. So we will go to Beirut. Tel Garan is gone, all of it burnt. How can we go back? He asked. The Times said it was not only his home that he lost in last month's ISIS assault on Kabir, an enclave of Christian villages in a violently contested strip that runs along Syria's border with Iraq. He also lost his will to remain in the country. Only recently released from the ISIS prison cell that he spent in captivity with 20 other Christians. Peter knows that he's lucky to be alive. He asked for his name and identifying details to be concealed. More than 200 Christians from his town were taken hostage by ISIS on February 23rd. So far, only a tiny number have been released. He is the first to speak to an international media. He told the Times of London, they entered our village at 5 in the morning while we were sleeping. Some of them were Syrians. Some were Chinese. Some were Russian. They didn't speak Arabic. They took men, women, and children. They put us on the back of pickup trucks with our heads covered. We don't know why they took us. We didn't do anything. It's interesting. Chinese and Russian ISIS fighters. ISIS militants who don't speak Arabic. My friends, these are Christians that didn't expect to flee their home country, didn't expect to flee their towns. If you had asked them a couple years ago They would have said, no, we're not going. By the way, if you go back to True News Archives of 2011, 2010, 2011, you'll hear me saying to the Christians in Syria, flee, flee, get out now while you're alive. They're going to destroy your country. You're next. You're next. Syria, you're next. Because they had just gotten rid of Gaddafi, and I was warning the Christians in Damascus and in Syria, they're going to destroy your country. Flee while you can go. Get out of there now. How many thousands of them died? How many of them stayed? I don't know if our voice was heard anywhere in Syria. I don't know who receives this program on the internet or shortwave radio in Syria. I know that there are people in the Middle East listening to us. We get emails and letters. Maybe we save some lives. But I pleaded over the radio, flee, get up and go. They're going to destroy your country. And when I say they, I'm talking about the New World Order. I'm talking about the Illuminati that is setting the world on fire. You can take this all the way back to the 1800s with the Masonic plan to have three world wars. Albert Pike's famous letter in which he described in the 1800s three world wars. There had not even been one world war, and yet he described three. And the last one was going to pit Jew against Arab, against Muslim. And he said that the bloodshed, the violence, the destruction would be so great, the world would be horrified, and Christianity would be destroyed. I'm paraphrasing him. And he said, the destruction is going to be so great, people are going to lose faith in Christianity, and they will go to the new religion of the world, which will be Masonic. Now, that's a letter from the 1800s from Albert Pike, the man who developed the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. So, those are the people who are in control. This is the Illuminati. They worship Lucifer. And Lucifer has come for what? To kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he enjoys doing. That's what he does at his very best. Kill, steal, and destroy. And the devil is going to be set loose in these last days to go on a rampage. He is doing it right now. Look at what is happening in Iraq with the ancient artifacts, the destruction that is being brought to these ancient sites, thousands of years old, as ISIS is bulldozing them, blowing them up with dynamite, chiseling, using sledgehammers on historical artifacts, statues, buildings, walls that are thousands of years old. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be back in a minute. You're listening to True News. I'm Rick Wiles.
You're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. Rick will return after this announcement.
This is Max McLean. How do you know whether someone is wise and understanding? Listen to the Bible from James 3. Let him show his wisdom by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. From James 3. Listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
Well, welcome back to True News. I'm Rick Wiles, and we are your end-time newscast. It's just me today. Our guest, Dr. Hansen, had unexpected emergency gallbladder surgery, and he's home recuperating, but we wish him well. We'll be praying for him, and he'll be back here on the program in several weeks. And I'm just taking today just to talk just off the top of my head about what's happening in the world. And we were talking before we went under the break about the destruction of the Middle East, how ISIS is being allowed to rampage through the Middle East, crucify, behead Christians, destroy ancient artifacts, and so forth. And, you know, I do notice, you know, the world leaders, they're getting really worked up about the destruction of the artifacts. All they're demanding the United Nations step in now. Well, what about the beheading of Christians that's been going on for the past year? That didn't matter. All the archaeologists, the professors, the museums, they're all worked up because these artifacts are being destroyed. Yes, it's horrible. It's unthinkable. But why didn't you get worked up over the beheading of the Christians? Well, you know, we were talking about the fact that the U.S. and the Western Empire is secretly behind ISIS. I don't know how long they're going to allow me to say this on the radio. I honestly don't. I have no idea how long they're going to allow me to tell the truth. But I'm going to tell the truth about Obama and McCain and Hillary and all of them as long as it can possibly do it. Because they're wicked. They're wicked. They're evil. They're bringing death and destruction to my brethren in the Middle East. And I am not going to be silent. Here's another Times of London article. Iraq has called on the U.S.-led coalition to use air power against ISIS militants looting and destroying the country's archaeological heritage. And the story goes on to talk about the destruction, such as in the Khorasan, 2,800-year-old capital of the Assyrian Empire, 9 miles north of Mosul. Last weekend, militants began demolitions of an immaculately preserved 2,000-year-old desert fortress that had withstood two Roman invasions. It goes on talking about everything that's been destroyed. And so, Iraq is pleading for the United States to give them air support. The Iraqi soldiers are willing to march in and try to stop it, but they want some U.S. air cover. Guess what? General Dempsey said, no, we're not going to do any air cover in this one. Why? Why? Because the U.S. really doesn't want to kill ISIS. ISIS was created to take down the Syrian government. They're allowing ISIS to grow. They're deliberately allowing ISIS to expand its authority, its reach, its territory. When I watch these talking heads on television talking about, and I'm talking also about the Republican leaders, the Republican candidates, whether it's Governor Huckabee or Rand Paul or Rick Perry, it doesn't matter. They're all talking about we need boots on the ground and we've got to go in there and stop ISIS. No, you got to stop the U.S. government. Stop the U.S. government. Stop this crazy, wicked policy. And then you'll stop ISIS. But you got to first bind a strong man. You got a Muslim in the White House who is building a caliphate. You got to deal with a Hitler that's in the White House. You got an Adolf Hitler in the White House, conquering, going to war, setting nations on fire, using the power and the might of the U.S. military to accomplish his Islamic caliphate. And until you deal with that situation, you're not going to stop ISIS. Now, listen, I saw this report said Islamic State militants set fire to oil fields outside Tikrit in an attempt to halt the advance of 30,000 Iraqi troops seeking to encircle the city. So ISIS has started to burn the oil fields of Iraq. The article goes on to say, this is pretty certain this is Times of London, clouds of thick black smoke rose high in the air after ISIS fighters set fire to an oil field east of Crete, seeking to shield themselves from attack by Iraqi helicopter gunships. Okay? Now, this is why I think this is very important for us as Christians to pay attention to these oil fields. And before I tell you why, let me give you two more articles that go along with this, although they're not from the Middle East. This is from the London Telegraph. The gulf between the Greek government and its international creditors widened today as Greece was warned to pick up the pace of its reforms in order to unlock vital funds it needs to remain solvent. In an uncharacteristically short meeting of the Eurozone's finance ministers in Brussels, the president of the Eurogroup said that the Greek government should stop wasting time and begin enacting the reforms it needs to complete its 7.2 billion euro bailout extension. Now, the next Telegraph article, I'll wait to hear this. Greece will unleash a wave of millions of economic migrants and jihadists on Europe unless the Eurozone backs down on austerity demands the country's defense and foreign ministers have threatened. Greece has been taken over by the Marxists. A group of Marxist communists won the election. By the way, in this standoff between the European Union and the European banks and the new Greek government, guess which side Barack Obama is on? The side of the Marxist communists in Athens. But what this article is saying, Greece will unleash a wave of millions of migrants and jihadists. Did you catch this? And jihadists. What they're saying is, if you don't give us bailout money, if you don't stop this talk of making us cut our government spending and raise our taxes and live within our means, and if you don't give us more bailout money, we're going to open up our doors to jihadists and give them EU passports. That's what they're saying. Well, that ought to qualify Greece to get a NATO bombing campaign for itself. They're threatening to give EU passports to ISIS if they don't get bailout money. I wasn't sure when I read this today. Is this for real? Am I at the comic page of the newspaper, or is this the front page? This is unbelievable stuff. Well, now, I'm going to go back to... I want to go back to... here's one more line, because you really need to hear this. Panos Kamenos, the Greek defense minister, warned that if the Eurozone allowed Greece to go bust, it would give EU travel papers to illegal immigrants crossing its borders. He said, quote, if they deal a blow to Greece, then they should know that the migrants will get papers to go to Berlin. If Europe leaves us in the crisis, we will flood it with migrants. And it will be even worse for Berlin if in that wave of millions of economic migrants, there will be jihadists of the Islamic State, too. If I were Angela Merkel, I think I'd be preparing German troops to march on Athens. Like, what are you talking about, dude? You're threatening us? You're threatening to send jihadists to Berlin with EU passports if we don't pay your bills? For real? But again, these are the people that Obama is supporting. He supports the Greek government, the Marxist communists, because he is a Marxist communist. Now, I want to go back to why I said pay attention to the oil fields burning. And I wanted you to hear this about Greece. David Wilkerson, the late David Wilkerson, had a vision in 1973. He had several profound visions over his lifetime. But this one in particular in 1973, and I encourage you to go online. If you go to YouTube, there are several sites that have the entire David Wilkerson sermon from 1973. You really need to listen to the entire sermon. It's 30, 40 minutes long. There's some mind-boggling statements in there in 1973 in which he's talking about the future war and top-secret scalar weapons that will be used in that war. You really ought to listen to it. But in 1973, he said, before the great Holocaust, there will be smaller Holocausts. Well, we have a Holocaust going on right now. And I know the Jews get very upset when anybody uses that word because they want to own that word. But let me tell you, my Jewish friends, what's going on in the Middle East against my Christian brothers and sisters is a Holocaust. And the Jews are silent right now. And of all people, the Jews ought to be shouting, stop the killing of the Christians. This is a Holocaust. But I think in the context of David Wilkerson's remarks, I believe this is the smaller Holocaust he was seeing. He said, before the great Holocaust, there will be smaller Holocausts. The oil fields of the Middle East will be ablaze. And the smoke will rise night and day as a warning of the greater Holocaust yet to come. There will be bombs falling on oil fields, shipping docks, and storage tanks. Again, this is part of the vision seen by Pastor David Wilkerson, the late Pastor Wilkerson, 1973. I just told you that ISIS is burning oil fields in Tikrit, Iraq, right now. And I believe this is just the beginning. Also, Chuck Colson, who has also passed away and gone home to the Lord, Chuck Colson had a vision about a year before he died. I'm trying to remember the exact date. I read it on this program when he had that vision, which he saw a nuclear bomb go off in Washington, D.C. But he said before, in the dream, I'm not sure whether it was a vision or a dream, because spiritually they're different. But he said before the nuclear bomb exploded in Washington, D.C., he saw the oil fields on fire in the Middle East. And when I heard that years ago, you know, I thought about David Wilkerson. And now this is all starting to make sense. The oil fields are burning again. Wilkerson said, when you see the oil fields burning, it's a sign of the greater Holocaust coming. He said, this is a sign of the greater Holocaust. First, there will be smaller Holocausts. My friends, that's what's happening to our Syrian and Iraqi Christians. That's a Holocaust. Thousands of them are being slaughtered. They're being beheaded, crucified, impaled, tortured. This is a Holocaust. The world is silent, just like the world was silent in the late 30s and the early 40s when Hitler was killing the Jews. The world was silent. There were people crying out, but their voices were not heeded. It wasn't that nobody knew about it. A lot of people knew about it. Nobody wanted to do anything about it until it became so horrific that they could not look the other way anymore. This is what's happening right now in the Middle East. There is a Holocaust taking place right now. Unspeakable, unimaginable violence against human beings, Christians in particular. Beheadings, crucifixions, impalements. Mass destruction of physical property. The raping of women and children. The kidnapping of little children. Marrying little girls to these monsters, these Islamic monsters, being raped by these Muslim monsters. I mean, this ought to horrify the world. And yet they're looking the other way. But this is a Holocaust. But I believe it's one of the smaller Holocausts, because what David Wilkerson was seeing was a greater Holocaust. And I believe it's on a regional, perhaps a global scale, where you're going to see millions of people killed because of this monster of violence, of bloodshed that has been released from hell. I'm going to read this again. Before the great Holocaust, there will be smaller Holocausts. The oil fields of the Middle East will be ablaze, and the smoke will rise night and day as a warning of the great Holocaust yet to come. There will be bombs falling on the oil fields, shipping docks, and storage tanks. My friends, personally, I'm going to tell you, because a lot of you write and you call and you're trying to find out what I'm going to do. What is the Wiles family going to do? What are our plans? Well, first of all, I'm not going to tell you on the radio. I'm not going to tell anybody. You don't think there's not a target on my head? You think I'm going to blab on the radio what my plans are? I mean, I've told the truth about Barack Obama. I'm out of names to call him. I don't know what else to call him. He's wicked. He's evil. He's diabolical. He's full of the devil. He's demon-possessed. He's Adolf Hitler reincarnated. He's inspired ISIS. He's dreaming of leading a caliphate. He's leading this world into world war. He's provoking Putin. I don't know what else to say about the man. You don't think there's not a target on my head? I'm not going to tell everybody what I'm going to do. But here's what I want you to know. I have various markers, various things that I have decided on my own. Hey, when I see these things happen, I know it's time to disappear. It's time to go in my hidey hole. And I'm telling you, one of those things is when the oil fields are on fire. When the oil fields are on fire, when we start seeing the bombing of oil fields, the mass burning of oil fields, I know that David Wilkerson was a man of God. He was an anointed man of God, used to warn, to prophesy to this nation. And I know that he spoke a true word from the Lord in 1973. And I know that that's a warning. And I know Chuck Colson was not somebody that ever talked about prophecy. You never heard Chuck Colson talking about dreams and visions and prophecies. But before he died, he had a dream or a vision, and he saw a nuclear bomb go off in Washington, D.C., but he said before it happened, the oil fields in the Middle East were on fire. And I'm telling you, folks, that's one of the markers I have. When I see these things happening, I know that the great Holocaust is very close to us. Now, there was something else that David Wilkerson talked about, and this was in another vision. I want to say 1988, something like that. It's about the time he wrote the book, Set the Trumpet to Thy Mouth. He said he talked about an economic crash, an economic panic. He said from the time the first country goes down, you'll have 2 weeks to get your money out of the bank. Now he's talking about a country. He said you will see a country in Europe go belly up financially. And then he said it would spread to South America. Then it would go to Mexico. And then when it's in Mexico, it will spread quickly to the United States. And he said he saw foreign investors withdrawing billions and billions and billions of dollars out of American banks in one day, and the banking system collapsed. But he said, from the time the first country goes down, you'll have 2 weeks to get your money out of the bank. He said, America will come through the crisis. There will be a restoration, but the nation America will never be like it was before. He said, a European nation is going to default on its international loans. And when that happens, within 2 weeks, Mexico is going to default. Now, if I recall, he said it was going to go to a South American country, and then to Mexico. I don't have the exact words in front of me. I'm just going by what I recall. But it was going to be a European nation was going to default on its loans. Next would be a South American country, then Mexico, then the United States. Well, what country in Europe is bordering on insolvency? It's Greece. I just told you a few minutes ago, they said, if you don't give us bailout money, we're going to let the jihadists come in and get passports. Well, what country in South America is teetering on default? Venezuela. They've been driven into bankruptcy by socialism. And then from there, it spreads to Mexico. And then once it hits Mexico, it goes to the United States, according to the vision seen by David Wilkerson sometime around 1988. But he said, 2 weeks. 2 weeks after the first country goes down, Mexico's going to default. And that's all the time you will have. And he said, when the banks open the next day, he said $15 billion an hour will be withdrawn from American banks. They're going to be running our banks, the Arabs, all the Latin American countries, they're going to be running our banks. And before the day is over, the USA is going to have to declare a bank holiday. Then he said, we're going into 6 months of the worst hell America has ever seen. There's going to be chaos. Not even the National Guard is going to be able to quiet it down. We're going to have to call out the whole U.S. Army. So the question is, when's it going to happen? By the way, here's a little tidbit of news, some factoid here. The McKinsey Global Institute said 7 years after the 2008 financial crisis, global debt has grown by $57 trillion. So obviously, nobody got the warning in 2008 about debt, because global debt is up $57 trillion. And of that, about half of it is government debt. And the rest of it is corporate and personal household debt. But government debt, it's almost half of that. So the question is, how close are we? Now, how close are we to this collapse? Well, I don't know if you heard about this. This came out, was it last Friday? Gerald Celente was talking about it. Andrew McGuire was talking about it. King World News broke the story. Andrew McGuire is a metals, precious metals trader in London. And he announced that HSBC Bank, the big London bank, just shocked clients by announcing the closure of all of its gold vaults in London. Again, this was reported last Friday, King World News interview with Andrew McGuire, that HSBC announced in London they were closing all of their gold vaults. Why? Why would a bank as big as HSBC close its gold vaults? Well, you only close something that you're not using, right? Well, what does that mean? The bank doesn't have any gold in those vaults? Where's the gold? What happened to all the gold HSBC was holding for clients and for the bank itself? I mean, this is an amazing story. I mean, it's just this is one that makes you sit up and pay attention. That something very, very ominous is on the horizon. This is again. I'm reading from King World News, and you can listen to the whole interview there at their website. They do a great job covering these stories. They said HSBC is giving only 2 months' notice to clients that they are closing down all 7 of their London gold vaults. This is an unprecedented move. It is happening because of the transparency. Because transparency is coming. There is no profit in plain vanilla bullion banking any longer. This is Andrew McGuire speaking on King World News. He said, I also suspect, given the lack of warning and lack of any press release, that the majority of these clients will be unable to make any vaulting arrangements in time. HSBC will no doubt make it easy for these clients to sell the bullion back to HSBC, who will then use the bullion inflow to repay some underwater positions. So something is brewing behind the scenes. And this is one more sign major changes are coming. So I'm going to go back to the question I was asking myself. When is this stuff going to happen? Obviously, if I knew that, I could make some very lucrative investments if I knew the exact date. You know, we've been warning for 4 or 5 years to be ready for 2015, and I think this is going to be a very turbulent year. And I know a lot of people are concerned about the fourth blood moon. We have another blood moon coming up in April. The fourth blood moon will be in late September. And I know, you know, a lot of people have written books, made a lot of money talking about these four blood moons. And there's something horrible is going to happen on the date of the fourth blood moon. I think, what is it, September 28th, 2015. So my reading of these blood moons is this. I'm not expecting something horrible to happen on the date of the fourth blood moon. I think these blood moons are signs in the sky. Jesus said that there would be great warnings in the sky. And that's all they are. They're like the Lord putting, flashing lights in the sky saying, hey, everybody, wake up, pay attention, look, I'm showing you great signs in the sky. You're going into the last days of this world. Doesn't mean something's going to happen on the day of the fourth blood moon. And I'm not particularly convinced that there's going to be a mega stock market crash, financial crash at the end of September, early October. What I do expect is that it will begin. I believe that early October will begin it will be the beginning of a steep, steep decline that will last several years into 2016 and 17. The Illuminati told us years ago, watch for the Phoenix. It's coming in 2018.